This is Dr. Holly Lucille's Mindful Medicine. Here's Dr. Holly Lucille.
Hi there, folks. Thank you so much for joining me. I cannot wait for this episode. I want to dive right in. Okay, here's the deal. Today, and we talked about this a lot on my show, Mindful, right? Just wanting to wake up, use our mind again. But mobile devices, get this, outnumber humans. Everything is so darn accessible. There is no waiting. And we are virtually, what are we? We're all connected, right? Yet, and you know this, because we talk about it, and I know this as well, we're more stressed, we're medicated, we're overweight, and we're more addicted than ever before. So what is the disconnect? What is missing? I have a lovely woman here today as my guest, Hallie Bock. She is the author of an amazing book that I have right in front of me. I've read it. I've done the work. It's absolutely amazing. It's called Life Incorporated. Hallie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here. You got me all pumped up just hearing those statistics again. It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, it is amazing. I think the statistics are amazing. And I see it every day, certainly in my clinical practice. I see it in myself, and I see it in my friends and my family. But I want you, so this book is amazing. It's called Life Incorporated, and we're going to talk a lot about it because I do want my listeners to grab a copy of it. I love it so much because it's not only so informative, but it's a workbook. It helps you, it helped me sort of dial things in because obviously there's so much information out there these days. But will you give us, the listeners, a little bit of a background on how you, I mean, from you're such an accomplished businesswoman and you know, CEO, and you've had such an incredible career. Tell me a little bit about that and then how you came to write this book.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've had a very eclectic background, everything from maybe not so glamorous, you know, fishing on a factory trawler up in Alaska in my 20s, you know, to eventually getting into video production in the creative fields, becoming a manager and a producer of large events, and then running my own design agency, and finally ending up at a leadership and development company. Was actually run by my mother, who was the author behind the work, but really had no skill or desire on how to strategically execute and grow the company. And for me, the growth of a company was another creative field to play in. My own company that I had started, it felt very much like a puzzle, and so I really just got off on that, you know, endeavor of, okay, let's put this into place, let's try this. And sure enough, you know, her organization grew quite well. And in that work, in that company, we trained other folks on really the art and skill of conversation. Right. And this was set in the workplace. So how do I have meetings with my teams that are productive and that bring forward all the ideas, and yet one person can be the sole decision maker at the end of the day? Or how do I confront someone's behavior as if I'm sitting on the same side of the table with them and build a relationship instead of across the table and firing shots? And a lot of it was at the base of that work, if I had to distill it down, was in the area of connection and creating human connection. And I saw these conversations as an opportunity for us to make some meaningful connection with one another, as opposed to shoving around emails that were always misinterpreted, or gee, let's bring in a lead process, or let's bring in, you know, another system to help manage things, when really the power of a conversation can turn the tide. And it's free. It's always available, and yet many people don't know how to use it. And as you mentioned, with technology, I think a lot of that has gotten in our way, and we're becoming less and less versed in not only how to have conversations, but how to connect. And that's what drew me to this book and called, sort of was my calling to write this book, is that as I was out there working with others on, here, listen, this is how you go to John, and here's how you have a conversation, I realized that many of these folks, the majority of them, something seemed very uprooted and unanchored in them. And when I finally put words to it, like, you know what? we've lost the ability, the skill, or even the awareness that we need to be connected, deeply grounded in ourselves before we can then throw out a tether to another person. And that was a lot of the struggle. It wasn't so much like, I don't know how to have a conversation, but just coming from this place of, I don't know who I am and what I'm doing and what I'm supposed to be after right now.
I mean, you make such a great point, and I think the work you do with corporations is amazing, because I do see it, you know, with the miscommunication. I mean, we go back to communication 101. What's the percentage of communication that's actually nonverbal? It's pretty high. It's like at 75%, right? When we are shooting off emails and texts and have all this technology, the miscommunication, I think, that happens that creates so much strife in corporate relations. But it's true also that if you have a bunch of people in a corporation that don't have a deep connection with themselves, don't have that contact with themselves, then what do you think the outcome is going to be when they all try to have connections with each other?
Well, yeah, and what it, and a lot of what it becomes really at the end of the day, when I, you know, would witness these boardrooms for these meetings, is a lot of very surface activity, and most of it was, you know, you'd have a few people in the room that were deeply connected. They knew why they were there. They were passionate about that, and of course, you know, they were sort of ringing with success, because if you read the book, you know, I do believe if you pursue your passion and you connect to that, the universe gets on your side and helps usher that along. But, you know, the majority of folks, because there lacked the anchor of why am I here, it was a lot of game playing, you know, sort of pushing around things and not listening to understand, but listening to respond. And I think that's a lot of what we do on social media, on really any platform now, is we think, how can I improve my rank? How can I improve my status? Whether it's by likes or shares or nods around the table, we are on this constant search, this frenzied search and hustle for that to deliver our self-worth. And it doesn't pay off. Anyone that's played the game, and I have, I've played it, you know, to death, knows that you become slowly more empty and empty. And then you know, in the meantime, you become more frantic and desperate, and do more and more unhealthy things to suck that gauze and these holes in your body that you don't understand. You know, why are they here? What can I do? So it can be very scary.
So, yeah, I'm sure. Well, and one of the reasons that I kind of hooked into your book so quickly is because you were so personal in your own story about how you sort of ended up being disconnected, not only from yourself, but from your family, and almost losing everything. And so I really appreciated that, because you do, in The Practical Guide to Wholehearted Living, Life Incorporated, you basically explain how our physical well-being, ours, like individually, right, and our health requires a holistic approach, really noting that connection between inner and outer well-being. So I want to go in to a couple of these questions for our listeners. I want to ask, this is something that, can you be fit, all right, but unhealthy? I want you to answer that one. Can you be fit but unhealthy?
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, you know, listen, I was fit and I was unhealthy. And you can define, you know, health in a lot of different ways. Even if you define it as physically, you know, healthy, you can be fit and unhealthy. I had a trainer early on in my triathlon career who ended, you know, derailed herself into adrenal fatigue, that, you know, is probably still playing out consequences on her body, because while she was incredibly fit and placing at Ironman, you know, championships, she was overstressing the body. And below the surface, if you looked, and if she had been able to stop and think about it, she probably could have connected that something was wrong here. But we have such this drive to push through, and God help you if you're type A, You know, that just means we really don't listen to the signals. We don't even check in with signals. We just drive in this culture we have in America of achieve, achieve, achieve. If we start anything, we've already, it's like we can't start something just to do something. We place out like, okay, what's the goal for it? What's the goal? And then the goal becomes, you know, our end-all, be-all, and we forget why we were participating in this. So it's a very long-winded answer of saying, yes, you can be fit and unhealthy. And if we look at health as more of a holistic, you know, how is my emotional well-being, you know, my inner life, how am I relating to myself, that kind of health, I see a lot of folks in the fitness industry that have sort of, you know, put their finger up their mouth and blown themselves up like puffer fish to look very big and magnificent. And it is all in a drive to hide what even they don't want to look at, right? Which is some sort of void or discomfort or fear inside.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because first of all, I wanted to ask that question because I knew the answer because I was, and I was fit and very unhealthy. I mean, I'd go to the gym, I'd eat really well, but I would start the day off with, you know, a robust amount of caffeine, and I would end the day with a couple glasses of wine. I would just sandwich that day, and then through the entire thing, I mean, forget about relationships to what? I'm on a roll here. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm going to lecture, I'm writing a book, and it all came crashing down. But it's interesting that the visual that comes to my mind, when you talk about sort of being fit on the outside, once again, superficial, right? So you got everything going on superficially, but skin, you know, underneath that skin deep, where is that contact? And, one of the things that I used to do all the time was my house would be impeccably clean, but if you opened a drawer or a closet, it'd be like, what the heck? You know, and it was a lack of integration of sort of what's behind that closed door. And for me, and you know, I chose one of the things that I do for myself, I have to because obviously our lives are moving quite quickly, especially as you get older, it seems that time just flying by. I have to connect with myself every day because if not, I think everybody else sort of dictates my to-do list, and it's like it's a slippery slope from the moment that I get out of bed. And so even if it's 5 minutes just in writing, and that's one thing that I have found that's helpful, is just if I write to myself, you can call it journaling, you can call it, you know, morning page, you can do anything you want, but that 5 minutes just, it taps into, hey Holly, how you doing? You know, let's stick together today. Why don't we try to stay open and don't lose contact, you know, just kind of like, and it helped. I mean, 5 minutes, it's before the dings and the rings and all the electronic stuff go off. That's one of the things that I've chosen to do to keep that contact with myself.
That's so great, Holly. I mean, I'm so glad that you're doing that because, you know, that when we don't set an intention for each day, then the world does carry us away. And we get, you know, bounced around like a pinball, with everyone else's wants and needs and then our own frenetic energy. And so I do the, you know, my own version of it, which is journaling, gratitude, or sitting in a mindful session for maybe 5 minutes or so, at least, you know, at the very least, just to ground into my body and set my intention. What is it that how do I want to show up to the world today? You know, and if I look at the end of the day, what would I like to be able to say? Not that I did, this isn't about accomplishing goals, but, you know, how am I going to enter and glide through the day? And when we do that, you know, when you take the time to do that, it's like you see this giant rudder coming out of a ship and setting down. And now all of a sudden, you're guiding this day, and yes, things will come, winds will blow, and they'll knock you off balance and try to veer you off course, but because you set that rudder, you're going to come back to that and find that again. It's a much more easeful transition, and more likely than not, at the end of the day, you can look back and say, yeah, I feel complete. I feel good about that day.
Yeah, and when you start stringing those days together that you feel good about, and you start getting that confidence in yourself again, and that you can do this and that you can take control again, it's kind of fun. It feels great.
It does. We're no longer servants to our monkey mind, you know, and I think as we age, you know, a lot of things become more important. You know, we need to understand any new limitations that are creeping up or just pay more attention. But as you said, you know, like it feels like time goes faster. And I think I would just put out here, hypothesize that time goes by more quickly because our brains are more and more full of these stories. You know, it's like a snowball from when we were little up until now. We've got all of these anxieties, all of these old stories, you know, that are running in our brain and that we are biased to believe. We tend to believe what our thoughts, when often they're these grandiose stories that are just kind of palpitating our fear and tied into that limbic system to put us into fight or flight or problem solving and that separation. But so when we practice mindfulness or any way of stopping and slowing the brain and driving that wedge in between thought and reaction, which is what mindfulness is for me, then we can begin to see that these stories really are just that. They're stories, right, that we are separate from them. And we can begin to disconnect all of those chains if we take that practice forward and do that on a consistent basis. We relieve ourselves of all of that noise that's just simply created by us. Forget the outside world. But when we can alleviate all that noise, you know, and locate ourselves again, time does start to slow down again.
Yes, and you know, I have to say, it can be an eerie feeling once you get there. And I warn people that, you know, because it's like, you know, I think we're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like you said, sort of that sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight that we're always in for one reason or another. It's fairly addictive, quite honestly. It's a, you know, it's a hit of dopamine. It's a hit of adrenaline, whether it's, you know, go, 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 or, you know, getting those likes or, you know, it's a chemical thing that we're dealing with as well. And when you reach that contact with yourself, it shifts. Your autonomic nervous system has two parts, right? So the parasympathetic place is truly where you can rest, relax, and repair. And I think when we're able to get a little bit more parasympathetic activity into our lives to balance out the sympathetic fight or flight or freeze that we are so, you know, sort of indebted to these in our modern day, it makes such a big difference. And the time does slow, but it does feel like, is everything okay? Like, why don't I feel crazy? This is...
Yeah, this why is, don't I feel so manic? And I miss the rest of adrenaline. Where's all my adrenaline coming from, you know? Yeah.
How am I going to pay my mortgage without this stress?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
It's true.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I had that. You know, I did. I had that. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I had that realization the other day. I was really just feeling quite happy, just in general. You know, I mean, I had a full but fun weekend and just really feeling connected to my primary relationship and just having a great time with some creative work that I was doing. And I just was feeling happy. And it took me a second, but I had this weird feeling like, you know, I was scared. Like, what's wrong? Like, what's going to happen? Am I missing something? It literally was that I had to sort of just, no, this is actually what life can be like, you know? It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's allowed, you know, and I just saw a great clip. I do mention Brené Brown's book in my or her work in my book.
Sure.
And I just saw a clip of her. And she spoke directly to this, and I loved it. She said, you know, when we lose our ability to be vulnerable, then joy becomes foreboding. So what she's saying is, you know, when we get sealed up and in a reactionary place constantly, right, and things need to be perfect, then when we have moments of joy, then the first thought, or if not the first, then the next thought is, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? You know, like you're looking at your beautiful child and are in amazement over them, and then the thought is, oh my gosh, what if something happens to them? Or you've landed a new job and things are going great, and then you think, oh man, you know, am I going to be able to do this job? Is something going to happen? And that response is just, you know, our ability, you know, when we can be vulnerable, when we can bring mindfulness in and start to chip away from those layers, then we're able to experience joy for what it is and not feel like we have to steal up all these walls and protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, in the couple minutes we have left for the listeners, a couple more tips, because you talk about mindfulness, so using our minds, and then also the physicalness and moving. So what strategies can folks work with for both of them to reach really their peak selves, their peak performance?
Yeah, well, you know, like we spoke, I think health is both about your inner life and your outer life, right? So it's not just about what you see in the mirror, but the tone and tenor and the quality of the emotions and the relationship you have with yourself. And for me, that inner life work is the most important. And it's also because I'm someone that likes to move. I like to go fast. I mean, I wrote the books for myself because of myself. You know, it's the one area of practice that I tend to drop. I'll go run to the gym or anywhere else very easily. And it's hard to come and connect to myself. And that's simply because it's scary for me. It's scary, and I think for a lot of people, it can be scary to be still and to wonder, who am I? You know, when everything goes away, when I'm not moving, when I'm not doing something for someone else, I don't have focus on anything else, when am I going to learn about myself? What's here? And when I started mindfulness practices, it was very frightening because I hadn't visited myself in so long that I really was a stranger to myself. And I was honestly afraid of what I would find. You know, I just had become so disconnected from myself and so used to flying around and serving everybody else and in a whirlwind of relationships, and some highly toxic, some not. So at the end of the day, I didn't know what I would find, but what you find is, like, you know, it's this, and I would recommend Tara Brach as a great resource to go to if you're just getting into mindfulness, or there's even apps you can put on your phone that will sort of take you through 5 minutes daily mindfulness practices. And it's just an opportunity. We need to come home. We need to connect with ourselves. Even if just at the beginning, it's finding your breath and your body and learning the practice of not trying to stop your thoughts, because that's not what mindfulness is about.
Yes.
What mindfulness is about recognizing when the thoughts come and then being able to make a choice of letting them go.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it, right? So
yeah.
We don't end up grabbing onto thoughts and running off with them, but we can begin to, and when we build that muscle through a practice in our inner life, such as mindfulness, then all the thoughts that start to come through the day as we're up on our feet, off the cushion, you know, we begin to see, well, that's a thought. That doesn't define me. That's just a wave in the ocean. It's not the ocean.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's great advice. I know, because people have, I always try to get people to do things and then take the sting of the connotation off of what they, you know, thought it was, you know, like if it's meditation or mindfulness. But literally, I've had this saying that I encourage people to get curious before critical, because that, like you said, either running away with your thoughts or shaming them, right? You know, like, I've been having
a lot
of fun with
that. I'm doing it
wrong.
I can't even meditate, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just all the, so I was like, why don't you just scratch your head and just get curious about yourself? You know, like, I have this guy, I'm a CrossFitter coach more than an athlete now, because, you know, it's just better that way. But there's this guy that I know in the community, and I'm like, God, he's such a dick. And I'm like, why do I think that? You know, because I don't want to have that thought, right, about somebody I really don't know. But because, right, I pride myself on sort of just being a good person, you know, but so I just, you know, I go, and when you bring it back to yourself, you know, and I think about the things that I've projected on him, then it makes you, you know, it's that contact with yourself. You get to know yourself a little bit better, and you're really able to just then be more connected. And I think that overall holistic well-being that you talk about so much and guide people through in your book, I got to say it again, Life Incorporated, it's just so important. And I really, the workbook style of it, where you guide people into being able to be gentle with themselves and really stay, get connected and have contact and say hi to themselves again. You know, I think that when we do better and we feel better about ourselves, we do better, just, you know, that whole kind of just ripple effect. And I think the world needs that more than ever. So everybody, lifeincorporated.co is the website. You can hear, you can learn more about the book or more about Hallie at HallieBach.com. And I want to thank you once again for being here. Folks, this is Dr. Hallie Lucille, Mindful Medicine. Just hoping you can wake up. Just use your mind a little bit as you're making decisions about living in this world, being healthy. And please go ahead, go to iTunes, rate the show if you wish. We can help grow our community and keep the conversation going. All right. Thanks so much.